And it's fascinating to hear the impact of being together. 'Cause that's what I pick up on. And it's, maybe we should make this into the intro. Then this is me and Caspian having had a group session conversation with Reddy and Steve and Inma from the second season of Tankespian. Just wanting to get together and share a little bit of the experience of it. And it is.
It really is wonderful.
Yeah.
I mean, these conversations, the funny thing about your, I want to say your podcast, because it is yours, is that even though you have one-on-one conversations with all of these people, it is a community. As we said, I've never spoken to either Inma, Steve, or Reddy. Yet I feel part of a community. And I think that's something that I picked up on from all three of them.
Yeah.
Is that it is a community. And I think that you do that very well in creating that space. And everyone does it very well in participating as well.
It is a wonder. It's a treat.
It is.
It is a treat.
For sure. Yeah.
Well, enjoy. Over
Should
to
I
you.
Take it away?
Yeah, take it away.
Sure. So what? The purpose of me being here, I should probably start out with that, is last time around we or rather the first series that we did of the Tankespian podcast, Helena wanted to do sort of a sum up or a gathering or a meeting with all of the conversation partners that she'd had over almost half a year, 6 months. And we agreed that it's probably quite impractical to have Helena lead that conversation. So that, just to set the scene, that's why I'm here. To sort of, I have some questions, some things that I want to talk to all of you about and see what you react. At the same time, it's not an interview. We're not here for me to just ask questions to you guys. So whenever you feel like it, pop and come on and share things. So really, I just want to start off with Helena saying something about what, you know, I was a part of this process, but both for the people listening and maybe even for Reddy and Steve, with this season, what was your thought going into this season and sort of thinking about the people and the both having conducted a series on beforehand, but sort of give us your thoughts on what led up to this season.
So the first season was an experiment. Really, not knowing, you know, how will this work? Will it work? Is there anything to talk about? You know, is there anybody who will think it's interesting to think of or to listen to, like long, rambling, meandering conversations without a purpose, without a goal? And throughout that season, I kind of figured out how it impacted me, and having this roundup session then really made me see that even though I kind of get five times as much time because I do this with five groups, right? So I have 25 conversations. The impact of the people that I've been conversing with kind of was mind-blowing. So that really got me, one, thinking, how can I stop having these long meandering conversations with those people, you know? But I want to bring in some new people too. And I could do this as a full-time job. I could just stack on people and, you know, release a conversation every day. That wouldn't be very practical. But the one thing that I was thinking going into this season was that I wanted to play with also having more than two people, me and one person. So I got Matthew and Inma quite early, already a couple of months into the first season. I asked them and they said yes, because we had been having trio conversations and they always turn out really wonderful. And then that was it. I didn't get or make or create more trio sets. And I, you know, I asked people as people kind of pop up into my mind. Me and Andy met on Twitter/Instagram because Caspian found a piece he'd written and said, maybe you'd like this dude. And I really like that dude. And we had a conversation on his podcast. And it was like, oh, I want to talk more with him. Freddie, I met on Twitter. A couple of hours later, we had our first racket, a conversation online. And, you know, before we ended that half hour meetup, I'd asked if he wanted to be on the podcast. And the next day, we recorded our first conversation. You know, so it's like, it's just this jumble of people and how I've come to you. And I think now, sitting here with, you know, almost having wrapped the second season, I have two more conversations to do. I have Andy and Izzy, the fifth ones with them. Otherwise, it's done. It's in the bag. I've realized how there's similarity. It is meandering conversations with people that I find interesting and stuff. And how at the same time, it's like each of us come into a certain stream. It's like me and Steve, we have been going inwards a lot. That has been kind of the thing that we've come back to over and over again. Me and Reddy, we've been also doing inwards, but also outwards. We have been kind of going in, out, and we've been playing a lot. So that is something that I just recently really started to think about. And again, I'm sitting here now thinking, how will I survive if I don't have my monthly shot of ready conversations? You know, it's like, how can I not do this? And I will do it because we will stay in touch. I mean, that for me is just, it just feels like a given. It's like, there's no way I don't want my regular hit of ready. So I think that's, so now I've started to think about the third season. I've asked one person and I have a go on that one. I have, you know, so my mind, it's kind of brewing and I'm thinking about it and I haven't quite Yeah, it hasn't crystallized yet, but I'm sure it will fall into place. So I think that's it. And the 25 conversations I had the first time, the difference between not having that type of conversation and having them is bigger, of course, than having that those 25 conversations with my first season and now my second season. But the impact or the import of these types of conversations is just hammered home for me.
It's a really nice sentiment. I'm curious to know.
While you were boiling your heart.
Yeah, sorry. You go ready.
No, go on, guys. All right. I said, while Helena was pouring her heart out, I'd already pinged my agent. I said, I need to get on the next season. Get me in now. I don't care what you do. Get me in on the next season.
I love that. I love that. I would just like to hear Reddy and Steve. What did you guys think when Helena asked you to be on the podcast? Did you listen to the first season at all, or did you go in sort of head first into the deep part of the swimming pool?
I'm going to let Steve take this one.
Okay. I had listened to several of the conversations. Yes. I had listened to, and I'd also listened to parts of quite a number of them. Helena posts short snips of them as well. And so those are teasers for sure, appetizers for sure. So, you know, I'd seen probably a couple of dozen of the small pieces at various points, and then had gone in and listened to several of the longer conversations, either in their entirety or like 30-minute or 40-minute chunks of them at various points when I would have time to just put them on and have them going while I'm doing something else. And often I found myself not able to do something else. I would put it on thinking, all right, I'll paint, or I'll clean up my studio table or something while I'm listening. And I'd be standing right here watching faces as well as listening. And so they were quite gripping. So when Helena asked me to be part of the second season, I was delighted and honored to be part of that. And was just, you know, I was hoping I would, you know, measure up, that I would somehow have good enough stuff to say or whatever. And yet at the same time, every time we would have one of the conversations, Helena, I would have to kind of school myself to don't overdo it. Don't overthink it. Don't, you know, whatever, just sort of let it happen. Right. Mm-hmm. And so all of that was excellent for me. It was all good practice to do all that. It's been an amazing experience, and I have pages and pages of notes from these conversations, because as Helena said, we've been doing somewhat similar work. I would say it's kind of parallel work, right? And so things that Helena had discovered about herself, or that she was, things she was doing or moves she would make inside that would enable something else to fall into place or to open up. Many of those were really useful for me to hear as well. So I was just furiously jotting notes sometimes during the conversations, because they were so useful to my own journey. So, and Helena is so easy to talk to. So it's been great.
That's really nice. Reddy, what did you think when you were asked? I mean, you had the racket before.
Yep.
Apparently not even 24 hours apart.
Yes. Barely even 2 hours apart. I think it's just like 1 minute. We're just like on Twitter. You know, it's not even like a DM. It was just more like a conversation on the feed. And before you knew it, we were on a racket call. And I, you know, it was like, you know the saying that, you know, it's like a breath of fresh air, but Helena was more like a torrential storm. Right? So it wasn't like a breath of fresh air. It was just all like, shh. All of a sudden I'm in this storm and I'm like, whoa, what's happening here? Right? So I was literally swept off my feet, because it just went on. And I'm even now, right now, like I feel like we're still in that storm. right? Like it's like, now I know why storms are named after them. Always have like a hurricane, you know, Hurricane Helena. It's like, you know, just literally there was no planning. And like you said, I didn't even dive into this headlong. I was swept away off my feet. And yeah, there was absolutely no planning. I mean, like, I'm really glad Helena, you know, takes the effort to do all the planning in place, the calendars, the emails, the invites and all of that, because I'm extremely, you know, all over the place person. And now I can blame it on, oh, I was just swept away by the storm. It wasn't my fault. But it does feel incredibly exhilarating. Like every conversation, you know, like I've always, when I'm watching, you know, series on streaming sites, it's like there's always this, oh, you know, one episode gets someone, you're like, oh my God, I wonder what's going to happen next, right? Mm. But those are scripted. Those are scripted. Those are edited specifically to create that trigger in the mind that says, oh my God, like, it's got its tentacles into it, right? Like that's a whole bunch of effort by a whole bunch of people working to dig their, you know, hooks into you. But in this case, it was so spontaneous. It was so incredibly magical. And it was something that, you know, it's not something you can really plan. It's not. I mean, you can plan all the, you know, getting people on the same call at the same time, but you can't plan that connection. You can't create that serendipity. It just happened, right? And I feel like that's just how our conversations have been. And I'm so glad that, you know, that there's like episode one, there's episode two, there's season one, there's season two, because I feel like this is just getting better and better. And I wonder what's going to happen next. I wonder what's going to happen next. I wonder what I'm going to say next. I wonder what Elena's going to come up with next.
That's really nice.
On cue. Hey, Inma.
Hi, Inma. Yay.
You made it.
You made it. Can you hear us?
Probably maybe not yet.
Not yet.
Ian.
There we go.
Retard factory.
Oh, good wow.
That instead of battery low.
I love how well this speaks to what you were just saying. Ready? It really isn't scripted.
And it was recharged battery too.
Exactly.
So welcome, Inma. I'm so happy you could make it.
Thank you. I thought it was the 12th.
It was my 12th.
Yeah.
Yep. So
we have what, four different 12s in here?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
So there's no blame in mistaking any. I mean, you had four 12s to choose from, and you made it to the right one eventually. How are you, Inma?
I'm okay. I was in the garden since very early in the morning, so I'm pretty energetic right now.
That's so nice.
Fully charged.
Yeah. Yes.
Good.
We were just speaking about, well, going into this series of the podcast season, and sort of talking about what brought everyone into it and the expectations and the feelings before going into it. I would love to hear what you were thinking, feeling, going into your conversations, because you're part of the triad of
yes.
Helena, Inma, and Matthew. Matthew's not with us in this call. But I would love to hear what you have to say about it.
When I got the invitation from Helena, I didn't... We have talked so many times. I didn't think it twice. I didn't think, oh, it's going to be a podcast and everyone's going to hear, listen to this and blah, blah, and I'm going to be public. I didn't think of any of that. I just thought, yes, let's have a conversation. like many other times. And then even in the moment of the first recording, I didn't pay attention to that. We were just talking, just having a conversation, and it was really interesting. So it was right after that when I thought, oh my God, this is going to go live at some point. And then Helena sent me the link to listen to it. And I listened 2 minutes maybe, and I stopped it. And I was like, oh my God, what I've done. What have I done? This is just ridiculous. I can't do that anymore. Oh my God. So I told her, and I said, look, this is horrible, this feeling. I'm asking you to, it was like that, both of us. Oh my God, my voice really, really, I can't do that anymore. But then she said, just listen to it. Listen to it. Go, keep going listening. And then I did. And I was like, oh, wow, that's great. Because I didn't focus on the sound of my voice, or I didn't focus anymore on what the technicality of it. And I didn't focus in I just focused in the conversation, and the conversation was really interesting. Mm-hmm. Much more than me, just me. I was part of something bigger. So, yeah. And then for the next ones, I just wasn't looking forward to it.
It's lovely. It's lovely.
Yeah, because it was interesting. Yes. When I asked you to, we had just had me, Inma, me, Matthew, and Steve are all in the creative community. And there's a little group called the Dragon Problem Solvers. So we had one of those conversations, a meetup, and it was just me, Inma, and Matthew, as it had been a couple of times before. And I got the thought that, I could do a trio on the podcast. So I waited until the end of that conversation and I said, I have a question to ask you and you do not have to answer it now. You can think about it and you're absolutely free to say no. And you both were like, come on, what is it? And I said, would you want to be on the podcast? And you both said yes. You know, it's like, I don't even have to think about it. And I'm going, they really should think about it.
I don't see any of us. No. As far as I know, Matthew, we were like straight away.
Yeah, you were straight away. Just, okay, sure. And I was like, okay, there we go. And then I remember when the first one was out, you responded saying, oh, my God. And I was like, yeah, chill. And I'm so happy that you said yes, and I'm so happy that you stayed with it, and I'm so happy that you've listened to it, because that's one of the things that I've understood. I don't know if I'm really odd. Many people who do podcasts, they don't listen to their podcasts. And I'm going, what the heck? You know, there's some good stuff going on here. It's really interesting. And also, if I'm on another person's podcast, I listen to it. And I don't know how many people say, no, I never listen to me on a podcast. And I'm going, part of what has made me really comfortable being here is that I've listened to myself. I've listened to it, and it's like I have gotten so used to hearing my voice. And not only that, I've kind of come to like listening to my voice. You know, I have some good stuff to say now and again. And honoring that, I think, is really good, rather than, oh no, I can't listen to myself. That would be so uncomfortable. It's like, you know, start to move and dance with the fact that this is me. This is how I come across. I like that.
Should also be said that you weren't as comfortable with it in the beginning as you are now.
Precisely. Precisely. And I mean, I have done a lot of work with this. I did my first podcast that was just sent out to the world in 2013 or something. And that was something that I was kind of reading. I recorded and re-recorded and re-recorded 50 times because I was so unhappy with the way that I sounded, you know? So yes, it has been almost 10 years of this, but the more I do it, the more comfortable I am with it because I also listen to it. For me, that's true, at least. I also listen to it so that I, you know, I don't have that distance between me and myself. Mm. It's like, I've come closer to myself because of this.
Mm. For sure. Reddy, you were going to say something about listening to yourself. It looked like you were saying something about it.
It just struck me when you started the conversation, you said this isn't an interview, right? Like, this isn't an interview. This is like an inner, like, I feel that every time I'm in this conversation, it's like, I'm just speaking, I'm listening to what Helena's saying, I'm saying something, the words are coming out of my mouth, and it's almost like I cannot hear myself say it, or I hear myself saying it after I've said it, right? It's already out there. And so I'm kind of getting an inner view into what's happening inside of me, right? Because what's happening inside of me is now outside of me. It's out there, and now I can see it clearer. It's harder to see inwards. It's easier to see things out when the same thing that's inside is outside looks so much clearer, right? And especially through the lens of someone else. Like, I now see what I'm saying through the lens of Helena's question, right? And that becomes a conversation that's helping me bring clarity to my own thinking, own thoughts. What's happening? What do I really believe? What do I really think? What am I imagining right now? And it's almost like the moment it comes out, it becomes an interactive experience. It's now a multiplayer game. It's not just these thoughts that's happening inside of my head, like this single player game that I'm always playing. Right? It's like, okay, this is what I think. This is what I believe. This is what I think others think of me. You know, it's all revolving around me. But now the moment I'm having this conversation, it's like, oh, so that's what Helen, that's what she's saying. And that's what she thinks of what I'm saying, right? It's so refreshing. And this is something I'm missing out on, listening to myself post-record. That's something I haven't done. I've recorded over 400 rackets, but I haven't heard a single one of them.
Now...
Yeah, I really think, I mean, that's beautiful, because what you're saying is almost like, I tend to oscillate between these two extremes. I'm either completely narcissistic and I'm like, oh my God, I love my voice. Who is that guy? He's awesome. Like, wow, he should be on the Joe Rogan podcast. Like, you know, or I'm like, oh my God, dude, you suck. Get off the mic already, right? Like, it's always these two extremes. It's like, I'm never able to. You know, I don't give myself the time to sink into that conversation. Just soak in that conversation. Forget judging, forget being criticizing. Just soak in it like a part. So I think that's something I definitely go back, post this call. You line up all of Helena's podcasts and you put them in a, you know, playlist and go like, all right, now I'm going to soak in the bath and listen to
That's really nice.
I think you end up, I mean, for me, I have found that these podcasts with myself, you know, with Helena and myself, listening to the one that, because I've listened, I think, two of the five so far in their entirety. It's a time capsule, for one thing. It's a conversation, especially since Helena and I have been talking about our inner journeys, and they literally are a journey that's got some linearity to it. Going back and listening to an episode from a month ago or 2 months ago has been a gift, because I go back and I'm like, oh wow, I'm not there anymore. Now I'm over here. And you don't have a sense of that progression when it's going on day to day, but you do when you get a gap like that. And then the other thing is, you know, like you said, Reddy, you have now a dance with yourself as well as with Helena, because now it's a three-way conversation between you that just all you can do is listen. Although I don't, I talk even when I'm all by myself. I talk to what's going on the screen. So I have these conversations then with myself and Helena, but I'm like 2 months in the future. And it's a gift to be able to have that moment like that on something that deeply important to us. And so I know I will value these. I mean, I can't even imagine what it will be like to listen to them like 5 years from now. Right. Mm-hmm. What will it be like to go back and think about where I was 5 years ago? I can do it with my journals, but only a little. This is much more three dimensional, right?
I can tell you, I found my hard drive where I recorded my first podcast series. That was, I think I started it in 2017, 2018, somewhere around that. And I just sat through listening to some bits and pieces yesterday, doing sort of a digital clean out. And it is amazing to see how much of a time capsule it is, really. And to sort of see, okay, I still think about that, but in a completely different way. So you're in for a ride. 5 years is going to be fun to listen to them again, for sure.
I wonder what season it'll be then.
Be season 7 or 8.
I wanted to speak a little bit about sort of your because from my perspective, I've barely listened to a full episode of the podcast, to be honest. I've listened to bits and pieces of every single one of them as I've been editing them. But what I've found is that they're very different conversations. There are many things that are similar to one another, as we've been speaking about sort of the meandering, and none of you have any scripts or any notes or anything going into the conversation, really. But I sort of want to put that on the table of how each and every one of you have perceived your conversations with Helena, and then what you, Helena, have gained from sort of the red thread going through all of the conversations, but also the differences between them and sort of how they've cross-pollinated with one another. Because I know that that's what you do. So sort of what has your perception been of having, Steve, you spoke a little bit about the sort of looking inward and the work of yourself, Reddy and Inma. I would love to hear you say something about your conversations as well.
The silence is probably the longest I've had in all of our conversations together. It is incredible how we begin with absolutely no idea what we're going to talk about, right? And they usually start with me apologizing for being late or messing up on the call. But it's incredible how there's never, like, that pregnant pause is almost like, it's almost like we're spitting out babies one after the other. There is no pregnant pause, but there's still a whole bunch of babies coming out. I'm like, what the hell is happening? It just, and it's, I love that experience of the whole finding. It's almost like we're just meandering through the wild and suddenly we chance upon that Lankish gap, right? And then all of a sudden I see Helena's eyes light up and, she knows that, right? She's like, oh, that's Lankish gap. Aha, right? And it's like, no one knows it. It's not like we're leading each other. I mean, it's a very strange kind of dance. No one's really leading. No one's really following, or it's like we're taking turns, or it's like we don't even know. I mean, like the dance floor is changing, the dance keeps changing, and it's almost like the partners keep changing, because every time we speak, we move from one topic to another. It's like we're two completely different versions. the same version of me 5 minutes ago is not the same version that's speaking on this topic right now at this point in time, right? Because there's the beauty with which Helena opens up this space, this playground for us to play in and converse and connect, is there is no taboo. Is nothing, there's no sense of being chaperoned in this playground. No, okay, we're not going to talk about that. We don't discuss that on this podcast. Like, I don't have to feel like I'm stepping on, like, you know, what am I saying? I gotta bite my tongue. There's this freedom with which I can explore anywhere and anyhow. And she's along for the ride. I mean, she's never shying away, no matter what topic comes up. And that is such a, you know, it's such a limitless feeling. It's just this feeling of being infinitely playful, because I suddenly don't have to think of whether this is in the game, this according to the rules, is are we playing this right? Am I playing ice? Am I playing nasty? None of those. Like, it's a very strange space, a very subtle space where there's, we're not really, we could be good, we could be bad, we could be saying things that are not so, you know, friendly, not so nice, taboo, but we're not labeling those as we're speaking. We're just speaking our hearts out, we're speaking our truth to ourselves. And I feel that sense of not being filtered, not masking myself, not having to, you know, contort my true emotions into something that is palatable to the audience, right? She never lets me get that feeling that, okay, ready, now you're going too far. You need to, like, I need to pull the reins on you right now. You know, you're going off the leash, you know, this. I never get that feeling. It's like we're running wild through the forest, right? And it's beautiful. It's such a lovely, wonderful experience. And I'm always left delighted, exhilarated, and I'm just like, woo! You know, I just come back and I'm like, ah, that was a hell of a ride, right? Every single conversation feels like that. And I don't even know what I've said. I have no idea. It's almost like, it's like in hindsight, I'm like, wow, that was awesome. While riding, while walking, while conversing together, we always just so deeply immersed in the moment that neither of us are truly, you know, concerned with what we're saying, because we're just saying what comes out without us even funneling it through a certain space, a certain confined expression. It's just free-spirited creative.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Which is one of the reasons why Randy's kind of stole an hour from me in one of our conversations. We had gone like 2.5 hours or 2:50 the time before. And I was thinking, well, we should really keep it down, you know, 2.5, not to just overwhelm everybody. And when we finished up, I was quite certain we had gone for 2.5 hours. And I was shocked when my QuickTime recording said 3.5 hours. Like, what the how? What? It's like, so yeah, we have really been just in that flow. You have been this season's Frank. Me and Frank were like this in the first season, just a flow. That's what you and me have been having this season. And it's so interesting how it is so different, because me and Izzy, for instance, there has been much more pregnant pauses. Andy is also a person that has a completely different, so like energy. So it is really different energies come together or get created when, you know, when you and me ready meet up. Okay, that's what you get. When I meet up with Steve, we get something else. When I meet up with Izzy, there's a third thing. And it's just quite fascinating to me how it differs or varies. And I also think that that's part of the beauty of this. It's part of the beauty. And this is also why, for me, it's so important that we have the five conversations with each of you, because then it's not a one-off, because then you wouldn't have been able to see that, right? It's five times, so you get to kind of dip your toes into the energy of me already five times. You can see the similarities, you can see the uniqueness of what we create and what we kind of give birth to, and how it differs from what me, Matthew, and Inma have been given birth to. So yeah, totally with you on that.
I like because you don't have to prepare anything to go there. You just have to be you. And I like that. There is no an agenda, and that may sound weird at the beginning, because what we are going to talk about. But then that is always something to talk about, and we know each other enough to be ourselves, to be able to be ourselves there, and just say what you think about what we are talking at. And sometimes it's just magic, because something comes up and the three of us are like, actually, that's really good. And because we have this background of solving problems before, usually we solve problems within the conversation, or ideas that may solve problems. And it's funny. It's just a good time and being ourselves. And it's beautiful. I like that.
And it is interesting, this thing of the people of this season. I know Matthew the longest, you Inma after that, and then Steve, and then Andy, and then Izzy, and then Reddy. And some of you, I kind of know more of the history of you, your, you know, where you are in the world, and your family backgrounds, and your, you know, what you do in the world, etc. It's like, Reddy, I know where you are in the world, but it's like, I still have no real idea what it is that you actually do. You know, it's like, I would not be able to say, how does Reddy make a living? How does Reddy put food on the table? I have no clue, absolutely no clue. And I still feel that I know you. I still feel that I am able to be me, to just, you know. So there's a knowing without the knowing, or a knowing without the facts, perhaps, that comes up in this type of conversation, that Reddy, you spoke about this in one of our first conversations about how, you know, you don't have to give all of the details, you know, you can just come and just play the way you are, the way kids do in the playground. It's like, they don't sit down and you know, it's like, where are you from, and what's the name of your dog, and your mom and your sister, and, you know, have you lived in that street forever? You know, it's like, you don't need that. You can just, you want to play? Yeah, sure. And you go off. I like that. And I like that it differs, and that the depth of this type of conversation is possible regardless of how long have I known somebody, regardless of, I mean, Maike in the first season, I've known her for 8, 9 years, 10 years, 9 years. No? So it's available. It's like, the possibility is there regardless of what the history is like. And I really, really like that.
I'll say that it goes one step further for me, that those of us who introspect and therefore are always monitoring everything we say, and is it in the right context, and is it okay for others, and all, we have a tendency not to be able to be ourselves, except maybe with a very few, very intimate people. So it might just be your family and no one else, or your family, maybe one or two friends. And so with the beginning of the Pro 2 workshop, it was what started it for me. It was like this open free for all where you're invited, encouraged. It's the point to share more deeply. And then through some of the conversations, and Helena, yours with me, around that time, we had a conversation, I think around either Talk at Spahn or something else. And I realized that I could be much more completely myself than I am with most people. I mean, there's some things I talk about in these conversations I don't even really talk about with my family. They're not as interested as in it as we are, right? So the conversations have gradually opened me up to be able to have this kind of conversation, be this kind of genuine with a total stranger, as long as I have the sense that the environment is one that's going to support that, right? And so that's why when you invited me to the creative community and I came over and saw who was there, you know, and I saw Matthew immediately, and I saw Inma, I saw you immediately, and I was like, oh, I can be comfortable here. this will be a good space, right? And so, and it has turned out to be so. And I've had several one-on-one conversations with other people from inside that community as a result of, you know, like you and Reddy connecting with each other on Twitter, and then just, you know, hey, we should talk. And those conversations are always interesting. They're not always easy. They're not always smooth. But they're always genuine. Like you were saying, Reddy, it's just, you just can be yourself, right? And the other thing, even when you don't intend to, you find yourself solving problems. One way or the other, you find yourself having a conversation about something that's important because you've been so genuine that you end up inevitably talking up or bringing up something that's a little bit more personally important to you than you normally would share with people or strangers. And you go ahead and put it out there. And then the next thing you know, you're getting some insight from somebody else. Because often we've been round and round on that problem in our own head, and we don't have the material or the parts we need to solve that with. They're going to have to come from outside. And this is the kind of group, and this is the kind of conversation where those parts could come from. Something could come in from outside, and you'd be like, that's exactly what I was looking for. You know, you just plop that right in place, and the thing springs right up, and you have a different result than you could have ever gotten yourself. So these have been great training, Helena, on being able to be more genuinely and simply myself. Including in the listening to them afterwards and at first cringing about the sound of my voice. But by the end of 90 minutes of listening to it, I'm like, no, that's a okay voice. It's a very expressive voice. It's good.
It's not an okay voice. You have an absolutely amazing voice, Steve.
Beautiful.
It is you have a radio voice. It's like, speak more. You have an awesome
because
voice.
I hear myself through my bones. You all do. I don't sound like that to me. So like my first experience was similar to Inma. I'm just like, who is that guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
So thank you, Helena, for you know all that this does.
Yeah.
Because it's not as interesting and wonderful as the experiences are, and as wonderful as the podcast themselves become as an actual little work of art, right? There's this other whole thing going on where I find myself just more free. I'm more free with my family even than I was. So, you know, which is, I guess, what some people find therapy does for them as well, right? You have a conversation in a protected space, and you learn how to ride without training wheels, and then you find you can do it someplace else.
Most of all, there's something interesting that happens when I'm having it, when on a podcast, the experience feels more like a Q&A, right? It feels like it's not even like the question is being thrown at me, because typically in the real world, in the outside world, my guard is up, right? So in a sense, like there's this sense of safety in this space where I know the question is not necessarily thrown at me, but it's just thrown out there, right? Mm-hmm. And we're both on the same side looking at the question. You know, the question is like the stone that's thrown across the pond and it's skipping the water and just making those ripples out there. And we're both watching that. We're both observing that. And we're both conversing about that, right? So I no longer feel, because in the real world, in with real experiences, I keep saying real, not because it's physical, but because there's real consequences, right? This space is a safe space, right? Like, that's the feeling I get. Like, there's no consequence of saying something I shouldn't have said, right? Because the consequence is that we, in the real world, I will be judged and punished before we even discuss the context which it was said, right? Whereas in this space, we're exploring that context. We're like, oh, why do you say that? Is that what you really think? Why do you think so? Right? Like, we're like playing with that question and with the answer. We're playing with the context in which that question is being construed, right? We're playing with all of this together, and we're playing like playful, you know, children who are just exploring with curiosity the world around us, the perception, our perceptions to this world around us, to the events that's happening to us, to people around us, to the world at large. There's so much, you know, curious conversation happening in that space, right? And I can relax, I can open up, I can explore, because anywhere else, anything I say will be, you know, this, like, there's already judge, jury, and executioner just waiting to slam that verdict. The moment those words escape my mouth, oh, you said that, you couldn't be, you're canceled, right? There's like, there's that sense of fear that creeps up. And it doesn't even have to be like something that's in the larger world, but it could even just be with family and friends and like a conversation where I'm like, oh, okay. I might have to take a step back without getting a deeper level of understanding of what's happening, right? It reaches a level where I either overstep my boundaries and then, you know, I'm left feeling guilty for that, right? And or I don't even cross my boundaries. I don't even cross, you know, say what I'm supposed to say, because I'm now limiting, inhibiting my own expression because I'm afraid of the consequences. That could be just because of my past conditioning, that the last time I said this, things didn't go well, so maybe this time I won't say it again, right? So, and that's typically, that happens to me, not just in, you know, in the larger professional world, but also in the sense of personal interactions, because it's almost like we don't have this space. We don't, like, imagine that 3.5 hours. It's really hard to spend 3.5 hours, even with family, because it's so hard to get each other's attention for 3.5 hours. Like, within 3.5 hours, it's like, oh, well, not today. I got something has come up, or, you know, it's like it gets too heated and then the door gets slammed and things happen, and or it just fades away, or, you know, it's really hard to keep that simple, playful engagement space of interaction where we're not necessarily going so intense that it, you know, both of us want to walk out of it, or it's not so casual that neither of us are in it in the first place. We're just sitting in the same room, but we're not necessarily in an interaction per se, right? So, like you said, Steve, like, I'm able to, you know, use this experience that I had here, and I'm like, ah, so now when I have this interaction with my friend, maybe I can slow it down a little, maybe I can more time for it. Maybe, you know, we could try it this way. Maybe I throw out what I'm trying to say as a question rather than as a statement. So, you know, this starts setting the tone or the standard for an ideal interaction. For, like, this feels like a play date. Like, it's like Helena and I have this play date and we're going to get together and play. What are we going to play about? I don't know. What are we going to play with? I don't know. But are we going to play? Yes. That's all I know for sure, right? But that's all I need to begin with. That's all we need to begin with. And now if I go into any interaction, whether it's in the real world, personally, professionally, regardless, I can now try to reframe it. Okay, imagine I'm having a podcast. I'm on a podcast with this person. How would we go about it?
Right.
For sure.
still in effect.
Yes. It's it's funny because at the same time that we have been doing this, I have the feeling of I'm getting better at it. So it's kind of a training too. And it's not something that is not my goal. It's not a goal that is implicit, but as a result, if someone else invites me to a podcast, or if I want to participate in another podcast, or if I want to create a podcast, I feel more confident to do it thanks to this experience. And it's kind of interesting because probably another person or someone, something else, would have come and said, "Oh, do you want to participate in a book club?" And I say, "No, not interested." But because we know each other, we have been having conversations for 1 year before this happening. Let's do it. Why not? It's going to be fun for us, and it may be fun for someone else.
For sure.
And also the language. It's like a meta part of it. It's like the word. Sometimes we even invented words when we had the podcast. Oh, this should be called this. Things like that. The playfulness with the language is also there. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, that's something that you've all been doing, and I think it's. I mean, the podcast is called Tankespian, which is something that none of you had heard of prior to the podcast, or prior to meeting Helena, possibly. And I think that's an important part of the playing. Since you're meandering, you need to find or sometimes make up words to describe what you're finding. Which I think is so important for the people listening, because they might have found themselves meandering to the same place, not having the words to describe it, and all of a sudden there is one. So I think that's, even though it's quite hard to read out from the automatically generated transcript at some times, I mean, Tankespian is I usually send over the versions of Tankespian that I get out of my transcript program, which is usually Tankespian or what's the other one that usually pops up, Helena? Do you remember?
I've kind of zoned out from them, so I don't remember.
But they pop up.
Tankespian, yeah, is a common one. And so
I don't even know what Tonka or Spian means. So
no. So I'm guessing that we have to keep at it a few more seasons, and then Descript's automatic training program AI system will have picked up on the word. So when it is actually written the way it's supposed to be written, then we know we've made it or have made it.
For right. Sure.
You're for on your sure. way to being in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been noticing, and this is something that I can get a little bit self-conscious about, is how Braiding Sweetgrass is a book that I've been reading during many of these conversations, and it pops up over and over and over again. And I can self-consciously think, oh, the listeners will just go, oh no, not that one again. And then I don't really give a shit because I've still brought it up, right? Because it makes sense in the setting, in the context of where the meander is going. But it might as well be that somebody else who's listening is also reading it and can then pick up on it and kind of feel this sense of, again, similarity, or there's something that, there is something that keeps all of this together. Because if you look at the pod descriptions, I think braiding sweetgrass is probably the most common link that I've used, and I've used it in, I think I've used it with everybody. So that book has come up with all of the five conversations of this season. So that is also part of the, when I listen back to the conversation, Steve, I can tell, I had those conversations back to back, or, you know, the day after each other or the same week, because I am in the same space. This is what's top of mind for me. I spoke about dreams with Reddy, and then I had a conversation with Andy, and of course we spoke about the same dream, or if it was you, Steve. It's like, so there's that thing, and he's like, that's also part of life. So for me, it's like I haven't trained myself to stop those impulses. Oh, I can't do this because I spoke about this in the last conversation I had with Steve. I can't do this then with Andy. It's like I haven't trained myself to stop those impulses. I just go with it. No, precisely. And I won't. Because it is part of life. That is also then, like you say, it's a testament. These conversations are a time frame. You know, this is what was going on at that time. And yeah, it was.
Another thing I really value about all of these conversations, about the creative community in general, is the ability to encounter other people who are being so genuine and so, that feel so empowered to say what they truly feel and think, that when I'll say something that's sort of one-sided and someone else says, yes, but, or yes, and they add the other side or another side, because oftentimes it's not that binary. Right. And Inma, you know, you're one of the people that frequently has a point of view that's the most different from my own, which I value greatly. And part of that difference is the fact that you are a woman, and I'm conscious of that at times, and other times it's not about that at all. It's about just a very different way that you have of encountering the world. You have a more open and inclusive, seeing things in a larger context and welcoming and embracing a much larger context. You have your arms out and around things in a way that I find sometimes impossible to understand, even it's so broad. And I value that immensely, because I've always been a person who analyzes and slices and dices things. I'm the other half of my head is not artist, it's engineer. And so I tend to do that. And so your outlook has been so informing. And it's brought me into a whole lot of understanding that sometimes just from a more female point of view, that's enabled me to discover many more female impulses inside myself, which has been massively helpful for my own, you know, interior well-being. And so again, this space in these podcasts, but in the creative community as well, is powerful in that way. It's not just that I feel invited to share, but the really open sharing of the others, ready to go back to your playground analogy, right? When kids are playing and they're truly being themselves, and you've encountered this very imaginative group of kids, right, that you're playing with, not only does time stop, so that, you know, you inevitably end up in trouble at home because you get home too late, right? But you've also got this, there's a kind of magic going on that you cannot reproduce any other way. And you can't get back together with that same group of kids a week later and make that happen again exactly the same way, though you may try, right? But the fact is that this group just, it just spontaneously happens so often. It's like, this is the playground I want to keep coming back to every day, because whether it's in small groups like this or the, you know, the text and image kind of context of the creative community or whatever, because that kind of play just sort of happens more often here than anywhere else I can think of.
Yeah.
Wow. That's for sure.
Hey,
I'm thinking. Yeah, sorry. Go.
No, I was thinking, I was just picturing in my head the podcast as a fabric, and every one of the pods, the different pods as part of that fabric. And I've been listening to some of them, and I want to keep going and listen another ones that haven't, but and you're right, Steve, when you said I'm talking to them when they are talking, I'm doing that. Mm-hmm. And actually when I do that, I write it down on the comments, and I do feel that our pod or the pod where Matthew, Helena, and myself are, is not just an standing alone. It is part of a fabric, and I can feel that around me. It makes me feel even more comfortable, even more belonging there.
It is fun how it is really a fabric, and the fabric goes wider. Me and Izzy had a conversation where we spoke about languages, and she said something about Dutch and Swedish and English being Germanic languages, and I just went, oh, I'd better not say something because I have a friend who will just tell me that I'm totally wrong, because that's happened a couple of times during. And then on March 9th, I got a comment from him saying, yes, Dutch, Swedish, English are all Germanic languages. So it's like, now I know he's been listening to that episode, right? So he's also a part of the fabric of this. It's like, you get these. I've been reading your comments, Inma, from you listening to me and Izzy. And it's been so, again, it widens and broadens the fact that somebody else comes, just like what you say, Reddy, about you having the conversation with you. And then when you have the conversation with me, all of a sudden you get another perspective. That's what your comments have been on me and Izzy's episodes. It's like, okay, here I get, and all of a sudden it broadens, it widens, it opens up, and there's a bigger structure to it. That, you know, it's quite fascinating to be a part of, in a way that I sense it, you know. We're all a part of that, but to be aware of it, to sense into it, to kind of hook onto these different little things, and just, yeah, it is that is part of that magic for me, that I can see this web of connectivity. Like you know, when you can be out in the forest and you don't really see anything, and then the sun shifts or a cloud passes, and all of a sudden you see all of these spider webs, and there's like, you know, they were there before too. You just couldn't see them. And that's what a lot of the experiences and interactions I get from this do. It's like they help me see what is there. I really enjoy that.
And there's also a component of sound, the sound of our voices, that for me, well, with Izzy and Helena, it's just like, oh my God, it's so good. Because the sound of their voices when they are talking is just so intimate, and they are talking about intimacy, and it's like, wow, for me, it becomes like the thread of the fabric, the sounds of our voices. Yeah, so, yeah, amazing.
That's a really beautiful analogy.
Elena, I wonder what the whole concept will be like several years from now, for instance, when, like any other network, it continues to grow like that. And at some point, it reaches some critical mass where it starts to draw other things into it just mm-hmm. because of its size. And at that point, you may actually, I suspect, lose some control of it. You've already got only a limited amount of control of it now, right? And you deliberately, by design, part of its beauty is that you made it in a way that it's another book I'm reading is Anti-Fragile. It's very anti-fragile, right? I mean, it's designed almost for the more disruption that comes into it, the better it gets. And so at some point, it's going to take on some additional life of its own. And I'm really wondering what that will be like. What will happen then? And how it'll affect then your ongoing work, your ongoing seasons.
And the spread in the group conversation we had, me and Casman after the first season, I don't remember who said it, if it was Gary, if it was already in the first of those two. This, you know, who would you want to have 5x5 conversations with? You know, to just take that aspect of it and go out, you know, you don't have to do a podcast. You don't have to put it out there, but just, you know, is there some, you know, my next door neighbor or my grandmother who's, you know, getting old and frail, it's like, who do you want to have a 5x5 conversation with? Because just that aspect of it kind of also opens up for this, like, again, who knows where that will lead, what that will impact, what that will ripple into.
You've all sense of nurturing.
What did you say, Renny? No, you go.
I was thinking there's a sense of like nurturing the experience, because I feel like this is growing. Like I can sense that this is something that's a connection that's growing. It's continuing to grow. It's not something that's a finite experience. It's not something that's, you know, that's on its way out or it's decaying. It rather it feels like something fresh, something young, and something that's still in its growing stages. Right, and I can sense there's this a certain nurturing in it that Helena is putting in. She's not just looking at this as something that's, oh, we're just going to enjoy this. Who knows what happens later, right? There's always that possibility that who knows what's going to happen later, but not from a fatalistic perspective, but more from a perspective of infinite growth. Where could this go? Oh, wow, possibly. But that said, I feel like she is investing a lot of effort, intention, and affection into nurturing this whole seniors of sorts, nurturing this whole collective of mind, thoughts, of conversations, right? Like the whole, it takes a village experience that raise, right? And it's something that grows when it's not just held tight, but it also needs to be held. Like you hold it too tight and it's destroyed. But if you don't hold it at all, then it's not going to have what it needs to grow, right? So just that right amount of contact, connection is vital, but too much and you know, the whole experience gets molly cuddling the child at the time. Grow up strong, robust, that you can completely let go of the child, and the child just go wayward and lose itself. Right? Just that right amount of affection, right amount of contact, nurturing as a community. And I don't even know the ins and outs of what's happening in this space, but from what I've experienced as a one-on-one interaction and what's happening right now in this multiplayer interaction, this is the feeling that I'm getting. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, you've all been onto this already, but sort of as a rounding off question for this conversation, I would like to sort of for all of you to speak a little bit about what you bring with you from these conversations and from this series. What's something that you can be tangible, could be intangible, sort of what's your takeaway from having had these conversations?
Possibilities.
I would have to say for me, it's a kind of confidence. See, Helena, you've got us well trained. We're all coming up with the word.
For those who don't know that, in the Patreon community of Tankespion, in the monthly meetups, we have 90 minutes. And at the end, I always want to hear what people have as their takeaway. And we usually have the most interesting conversations. It's like, you know, there's like 2.5 minutes left. And then I have to say, everybody, you can only do a word. Otherwise, you know, that would take too long. So. Steve and Inma are both regulars in the Patreon community.
Well,
so
trained.
Yes, they're very well trained.
Yeah. Yeah, actually came out like that.
I think I'll say delight. Like, I'm always left with a big ass smile on my face, and it just feels so wired and charged up. So delight would be the word I'd leave. You know, it's like there's a lot to, you know, to take away, because like I literally feel like I've plundered and pillaged the whole experience, and like, you know, sucked the marrow out of the experience out of those 3.5 hours. It's like I haven't left anything on that plate. It's like I literally wiped the plate clean. You know, slobbered over that meal, and you know, practically he picked up the plate and licked it off. It's absolutely nothing left to take away from that experience, because I've taken it, right? I feel that saturated and thing. But in one word, delight. Like, I just feel incredibly delightful. Like, I feel that, right? And that's my takeaway.
Lovely. What's my takeaway from this season? I think it's a sense of wonder. It's like, I should know better by now, but I don't give a fuck. It's like, it is a sense of wonder. It is that we can come together, you know, regardless of who we are, without having an agenda, only knowing that we're here to meet. No? And the most amazing conversations ensue, where I have... Again, like I spoke about this in season one with Mike, I think, that I'm in therapy, and I've been in therapy for 1.5 years. So during the year that I've been doing this series, I have been in therapy, and it comes up over and over again with all of you. It's come up in various forms. And it is what you already were speaking about. I get to see, to solidify, to hear myself repeat what is going on, what's been going on in therapy. I get to say it, phrase it. I get to see somebody's reaction to it. I get to hear that yes and. Me and Steve's, our last conversation was just like, man, we are so on parallel tracks right now. It's almost scary how like, wow, we are just the same. And your landscape looks completely different than my landscape. And it's the same with bunny ears experience, right? It's a very shared experience, even though colors, shapes, creatures are different. So a sense of wonder is like that's what I take away every time. The sense of wonder that it's possible. You know, it really, maybe this is disparaging, it doesn't really take much, you know? You bring people together and just what's possible is just, it's wondrous. So that's mine. And this sense of having deepened relationships, of having invested in relationships with all of you, of having that sense of nourishment. It's like we've really put some nourishment onto these relationships that feels like, oh, they will carry me for a long time, and they will be for a long time. It's like I have a hard time seeing how I would say bye bye to any of you anytime before I die. You know, because there's this, yeah. I don't know, it's like a nodule on the what do you call it? The weave of life. It's like, here's the nodule of me and Steve, and here's the nodule of me and Man Matthew, and here's the nodule of me and Brady, and here's the nodule of me and Caspian, because, you know, he's one of my closest friends as well. So doing this with him is also great fun. And it is nourishment.
Sure is. Isn't that a great note to end on? Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both.
Thank you all. Thank you, Helen.